D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you. The Tennessee Titans could do something on Sunday they haven't done in more than a year. Can the Tennessee Titans finally win a home game? It's incredibly possible. They are hosting the Kansas City Chiefs. We all know that Patrick Mahomes will not be playing in this game. He suffered a knee injury last week that required surgery. So Gardner Minshew will be starting for the Kansas City Chiefs.
But he's what?
4-2 against the Tennessee Titans in his career with 8 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. So he knows a thing or two about beating the Titans. Here's a fun fact. Minshew is going to start for his 5th different team in his first 7 seasons. Wow. His 5th different team in his first 7 seasons.
You know, the good thing about that?
What's that?
He's still in the NFL.
He's going to stay in there for a while.
Yes.
He's going to be a backup quarterback for...
He's Fitzpatrick.
Exactly.
That's who he is.
Hold on. I want to see if I can recall those teams off the top of my head. So the Chiefs, obviously. Mm-hmm. The Jaguars. Mm-hmm. The Colts.
Yep.
The Raiders. Mm-hmm. And the Eagles.
Yep.
Nice.
Well done.
A little Minshew magic.
Despite all of these injuries and issues for the Chiefs, the Chiefs are still favored by 3.
Wow.
The line did move.
It's moved.
By 8 points after the news of Patrick Mahomes. I read that on Pro Football Talk. It went from 11.5 to 3.5 based off of Mahomes' injury.
So if you just decided last week to foresee this and say, I'm going to take the Titans plus 11.5, mm-hmm. then you're locked in, right?
Yeah, you're locked in. Yeah. I think. I'm not a
I think that's
betting
how that works,
man
right?
like that.
But not. Excuse me. I did a Rex Road there. I did not unmute myself. Not only will the Chiefs be without Patrick Mahomes, they have ruled out 9 players. 9, including Trent McDuffie, Rashee Rice, and Juwan Taylor. 9 players will not play for the Kansas City Chiefs. They're tanking as much as the Chiefs can possibly tank. Look, it's been so long since the Chiefs played a meaningless game. Yes, they played meaningless games in Week 18 when they had their playoff spot wrapped up and everybody sat out so nobody got hurt. But the Chiefs are missing the playoffs for the first time since 2014. They've got to play these last 3 games without Patrick Mahomes. What do they really have to play for? Maybe if Travis Kelce is going to retire at the end of the season, maybe they try to win one more for the Gipper. But outside of that,
this is winnable. It's winnable.
It's winnable. This is a winnable game.
They can do it.
Will they, though?
Well, do you want them to?
Yes.
No, I don't.
In two years, they haven't won back-to-back home games. Since 2022.
The Titans have lost 11 consecutive mm-hmm. home games. 11. That is not the all-time record, but it's close. The all-time record is 14, shared by the St. Louis Rams between 2008 and 2010 and the Dallas Cowboys between 1988 and 1989. So if
that was like Steve Pelure. And then the first year of Troy Aikman, I think, right?
That's a better question for Derek.
Say that again, Willie. I was counting the losses.
You said 88, 89, right?
Correct.
I think, if I remember correctly, that was the collapse of Tom Landry.
Yeah, that was right.
And then
Troy Aikman came in.
And they were awful the first year.
And then the next year, Jimmy Johnson came in. Or was that the year Jimmy Johnson came in, the bad year?
I think Jimmy Johnson's first year was Troy Aikman's first year, right? If I remember that right, we can look this up.
And then they got all those picks, and it just changed the fortunes of the Cowboys.
Yeah. They got Emmitt Smith the next year, and they
Irvin
moved up.
All those guys, yeah.
11 consecutive home losses for the Titans. The Titans have not won a home game, if my memory serves, since the overtime win against the New England Patriots. Drake May forces overtime.
They almost blew that one.
Yes, but they didn't. But they have not won a home game since then. It's been more than a calendar year. So I'm incredibly curious about the Chiefs, not just this offseason, because the Chiefs are going to have to make some interesting decisions. And this is what happens when you have a quote-unquote dynastic run. We've quibbled about the definition of a dynasty in the past.
So now we're using, if you don't think it's a dynasty, you can say it's dynastic.
Dynastic.
Okay.
That might deserve a ring of the bell.
Yeah. There we
just
go.
Just working your way around, just so you don't get trolled by the people. That's not a dynasty, man. You got to have three in a row for a dynasty.
It's dynastic.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's dynasty adjacent.
Yes.
I'm curious what happens in the offseason. This is what happens when teams who are, quote unquote, dynasties, eventually the bill comes due, right? They've had an incredible run. What, seven consecutive appearances in the AFC Championship game? What, three consecutive Super Bowl appearances? So, Kansas City Chiefs fans, they're thrilled. They've had a fantastic run, but it always comes to an end, and it appears it's coming to an end for the Chiefs now. But I'm just wondering about their mindset, Derek. Mm-hmm. You don't have your starting quarterback. They're basically based on who is going to be held out of this game.
And as of now, there are what?
Nine.
Nine people, okay.
They've ruled out players. Nine players for this game. It's going to look like a preseason roster for the Kansas City Chiefs. Now,
how are they still favored? That's what I don't get.
This would be a fun experiment. How many preseason-esque lineups could beat the Tennessee Titans at full strength?
This is a case study.
We're about to find out. And yet, as you said, Willie, despite all of that, the Chiefs are still favored by three or three and a half.
And that just tells you how bad this roster is. That nine guys, including their all-world quarterback, is out. And you are still an underdog at your place. That tells you how far or how bad you are as a franchise. I think it would be good in a sense to get a win, meaning the Titans. I know it will. Listen, I don't think it'll mess up any, because they're not getting the number one pick. I don't think they're getting the number one pick. Now, right now they're slated at three. I think the furthest they probably drop is five, potentially, or four, somewhere around there. So from that standpoint, I don't think that if you ain't got the number one pick, then okay, maybe we can find a better trade partner if we're at three or four. But just for the morale of the team, I think, going into the offseason, and it may not look like a big thing or feel like a big thing to the fan base, but to those guys in that locker room, especially those guys that are coming back, you don't want to go 0-for at home. You just don't. And this team hasn't played well enough to win at home in 2 years, really. So getting a win at home, I think it would mean a lot just to that locker room. Again, fans are going to look at it and say, oh, you spoiled it. We want the highest pick possible. And yes, in theory, great. But again, for this locker room, small things need to happen in order for this locker room to change. And I think finally getting, regardless of who's not playing for Kansas City, if you lose with all these people not playing, that's really bad. That's really low. But if you get a win, it does something to the morale as you enter into these last two games. Again, they're not going anywhere, and they're not dropping out of a space where they can't get an impact player in the draft or potentially trade out of that spot and get a few picks. But I just think for the morale of the locker room, for those – you see Arden Key, he frustrated. You know? You don't want that from your locker room. So much losing that it frustrates you. And that's what's happening.
According to The Athletic / New York Times, the Titans have a 16% chance of claiming the number one overall pick in the draft. If they lose to the Chiefs, that increases to 27%. If they beat the Chiefs, less than 1%.
Less than 1%.
Less than 1%.
So whether they win this week or against the Saints, they're not getting the first pick.
If
with
they
one,
lose
with
out,
one more win.
If
yeah.
they lose out, they have a 58% chance to have the number one overall pick. That means they need to lose to the Chiefs, Saints, and Jags.
The Jags is the last week?
Yes.
So it's possible that the Jags would have something to play for, but it's also possible that they could be locked in.
Yeah.
They could go 3-0.
But I think because it's a – I would tend to believe because it's a a division game, Jacksonville will play their starters to a point and then remove them.
We'll see. But as Scott from Shelbyville says on our text line, nope, we don't want them to win. You can still get the number 2 pick overall, hopefully. No one will remember you beat the Chiefs 3 weeks from now. Useless victory and hold only hurts you long-term.
The players, again, and this is what and maybe I need to stop saying it because the fan is right. The texter is right. Y'all may not care about it. I get it. You are absolutely. I'm not going to refute or try to dispute. Y'all may not think it's not worth anything, but those guys in the locker room, in that building, it does to them. And that's what I'm trying to get people to understand. I know losing would probably more than likely be more beneficial for the fan base because you get a higher pick. But if you're in those, if you are in that locker room, you would have a different tone. You want to win as many games as you possibly can.
But. And this is why I like the dynamic we have on our program, because we have someone seated to my right who played a decade and a half in the NFL and did so at an incredibly high level. And I've never done anything athletically at an incredibly high level. So I can't speak to what it's like in a locker room. And I hear what Derek is saying, and I know he means it. I know Derek knows that winning can galvanize a team. And if the Titans can end the season on a high note, the players who are returning to the organization next season will go into the offseason feeling good and having some momentum and all of that. But I'm also wondering how much that really carries over. And you can answer that question for me, Derek, because if the Titans were to win, let's say, 2 of their final 3 games, like, yeah, maybe Cam Ward feels good going into the offseason, but, like, how much does that really change his offseason?
Well, okay, but let me add a caveat to that.
Sure.
Because you have been saying what the fans are clamoring for is some games where Cam puts up numbers. I don't think it's too much of a stretch that they could win the last 3 if the Jags shut people down in the last week, which absolutely could happen. Every team's different in how they handle it. It could be, like you said, a modified version. But either way, unless they can move up and grab the division or something, that's possible too. But let's just say that they won the last 3 games and Cam puts up numbers. That would be valuable, right?
I would think it.
That would be real momentum, I think, even under the circumstances.
I think it would be valuable to him. And just more of an insight for people, because again, I'm not saying that fans are, you know, wrong, because in this situation, the best thing for them in their minds is get a higher pick. So I get that part, and I'm not disputing that part. But quick example for you. After my 3rd year, I remember our last game of the season was in Green Bay. I think it was after my 2nd year, maybe 2nd or 3rd year. And it was the 2nd year because we didn't go to the playoffs. So it was the 2nd year. We played Green Bay. That was when Reggie White so-called retired, and he came out of retirement the very next season, I believe. And I got a chance to play a lot more. We weren't going to the playoffs, but I wanted to go out and perform well. And I wanted us to win because I knew that locker room. I knew myself. That carries weight going into the offseason. I had a good game. I felt good about the offseason, going into the offseason. I was prepared and ready to go. I knew what I had to work on. That's how a team feels. They feel the same exact way. No matter how bad they had been, you know, the first 14 games of the season, if you end the season on with 3 wins in a row, that does something to your psyche and your mentality going into the offseason. Not to say that it's going to discount all the bad stuff that had happened during that season and things you need to develop in, but it gives you a sense of, okay, if we do these things moving forward and add more things, we can take this 3 games and parlay it into more games the next following season. That happens. That's why I'm so adamant about, no, I don't want them to lose. I want them to win. And if it means sacrificing the 1st or the 2nd pick, then damn it, we got to sacrifice it. If I'm in that locker room, that's what I'm thinking. But I also understand and know that the fan base is thinking, lose them so we can get a higher pick. So then we can help. So I get both sides of it.
I get both sides of it, but it really does look like it's going to be hard to have the first pick. I think if you have the first pick and you can dictate everything, that's a real advantage. But let's go back to the award-winning study.
No, 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 no.
But no, you're going to like this part of it. You're going to like this part of it. Because there's just as much chance that the great player you need is at four as there is if he's three. Or six as opposed to four. If you look year in and year out, there is a randomness. So I think what we always lose sight of is the assumption that if you have the first pick, you're going to get the best player. And the second pick is going to be the second best player. We know that that's not the case, right? The 10th player might end up being the best player. People always love to be nerds and go back. If you could redraft the 2015 draft, this is how they would go. Remember, it's always completely different.
I love a good redraft.
Right.
I love a good redraft.
I figured you would be dancing to that music.
If you redraft 2 years ago, well, last season, Drake May would be the number one pick.
There's a great example. So you can't get too caught up in it. Do they have the three pick, the fourth pick? Yeah, it would be nice to trade down and get a lot of picks. And you know that I'm all for that. And if that opportunity is there, great. But I agree with you, Derek. I think you have to play hard. And if you win, that's great. But play hard. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, in these games, because he has been so beat down to some degree by playing these great defenses, they have had a tough schedule. If they play some soft teams and he puts up numbers, that's good for Cam Ward.
As long as they lose. That's where I'm at.
I agree. I'm trying not to agree with so much with Willie because Derek has accused me of always agreeing with Willie.
Agreeing with Willie.
I mean, look, we have a lot of the same interests. We buy our glasses at the same place. So
we're brothers.
Yeah. We live on the same side of town.
We were walking under the same umbrella last night trying to get to the Christmas party.
Yeah.
Because it was raining so hard.
Yes. Thank God for Willie's umbrella. 615-737-1025. We've got a lot of your reactions, so we'll get to it next. The Titans have lost 11 consecutive home games. They are playing a Chiefs team without Patrick Mahomes and 9 other players who have been ruled out. So the Chiefs are basically throwing in the towel here. They've got nothing left to play for. So the opportunity is there for the Titans to win. The line has moved by 8 points since Patrick Mahomes underwent surgery. But would it be a bad thing if the Titans win? We'll take your thoughts on it, 615-737-1025. A couple of announcements here for you. First, on Sunday, the NFL Game of the Week is the Steelers versus the Lions at 325 on 94.9 The Fan. The NFL Game of the Week is presented by Circa Sportsbook Kentucky and Massaro and 12 South. We also want to let you know that the College Football Game of the Week is number 9 Alabama versus number 8 Oklahoma in the first round of the College Football Playoff tonight at 7 o'clock right here on 102.5 The Game. Coverage presented by Circa Sportsbook Kentucky and is also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. D-Base, Finkin, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Derek he's feeling it. Sing it, Derek. Put the mic on.
This blazing bright, oh yeah, we're caroling through the night.
An eclectic Christmas mix on the program today.
This Christmas, everybody, this Christmas. I love this song, man. But it starts to speed up afterwards.
Mine were a little edgier.
Uh-huh.
Just a little bit. Mine were a little edgier.
Yours were like a little angry.
Well, there was
some angst.
There was a cover of All I Want for Christmas Is You by My Chemical Romance in there. That was one of them. So yes, there is some angst. There's always some angst.
Mine are coming up.
And speaking of angst, that's what a lot of Titans fans are feeling right now about our conversation. The Tennessee Titans host the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday. The Titans are looking to end their 11-game home losing streak, one of the longest in NFL history. The Chiefs will not have Patrick Mahomes. They will not have nine other players, including Rashee Rice, Trent McDuffie, and others. The line has moved significantly in the Titans' direction. The Chiefs are still favored, but now it's like by a field goal, not by a touchdown and a half. So we're wondering, could this be the week? And a lot of y'all are really hoping that it's not. Let's go to our phone line and bring in Trey. I'm sure Trey doesn't want this to happen either. Hello, Trey. How are you?
Good. How y'all doing?
Good.
Hey, I just want to say I'm with Derek because I want them to win.
Oh, I was wrong.
I want them to win. I don't care about where they picking at in the top whatever. I want them to go out there and win because we need to see what Cam Ward can do. Not just little glitches in the matrix, he throws a da-da-da. No, I don't want to hear all that. I want him to play a complete game, at least one or two of these, games. I want him to play a complete game to where we could see visually that he is capable of developing to being our quarterback. It's unfortunate that Tim DK dropped the ball. I think the ball probably hit him upside the head too fast. Or something, because the ball was on the ground. We can't have that, but he needs some touch on the ball, man. He can't be throwing that ball in there like that. Is he crazy? He needs to have touch on the ball so them boys can catch that ball. That ball be coming in there too hot. He need to work on that. But I hope and pray that we win come Sunday, because I don't want Gardner Minshew to come in here and put up 300 yards and three touchdowns, and we sitting there looking crazy and ain't won a game at home in, 2 years? That's ridiculous. So I hope they win, and I want them to try to win every game, and I love y'all.
You too,
Thank
Trey.
Thank you, Trey. Okay. Appreciate it. So Merry Christmas, Trey.
Adam, you laid out a scenario of big passing numbers but barely lose.
Correct.
I'll lay out another scenario that would not be very exciting for some fans. Win, but Cam doesn't play well, and the numbers look the same.
I don't think fans are going to, because visually it's not looking like what Trey said.
Yes. So I think what Trey's laying out, I think would go over pretty well. Mm-hmm. Like fans are like, okay, I see it now. Cam looks good. I think, and it would leave a good taste in people's mouth if he did that for the last three games. But doesn't that have to be part of a win? Cam excelling for people to have that feel good?
He may not have that game where the numbers are eye popping. Listen, he had sort of a numbers game against Atlanta. Was it Atlanta? No, Arizona. He had sort of a numbers game against Arizona, but people still looked at that and said, well, it was only the fourth quarter where he really came on that last couple of drives. I get it. He may not have the gaudy numbers as the season moved forward, because what we also got to understand is this. We're asking Cam, and rightfully so, we're asking Cam to play better and show something from a stat so we can visually see it. Well, if that's the case, We have to be asking the same of those other guys, DK, Gunner, Elik, guys that we believe are going to be here next year. Tajay Spears may end up being, I think he'll be here next year. Even Chig. These guys got to have games where it shows that they're developing as we move forward too. So it's not just on Cam. If you see Cam developing and you see all the other guys developing, you feel better about your season moving forward. But he can't develop. It's going to be hard for Cam to develop if those guys he's throwing to are not developing as well.
For what it's worth, the Titans are 4-2 against the Chiefs since Andy Reid became coach in 2013. So they have a winning record against the Andy Reid Chiefs. But I've made this point before. Cam Ward's best performance this season, analytically, was the 30-24 loss to the Seattle Seahawks, whether you're looking at QBR or EPA, any of those fancy stats. That was his best performance. Here were his traditional numbers in that game. 28-42 for 256 yards and one touchdown. So he played well in that game, but those numbers don't pop off the page.
Right, and a lot of it was when they were way behind. Mm-hmm. So you have to take that into context.
Yes. Let's get to your reaction on our text line, 615-737-1025. Joey from Bellevue says, I think we are selling the Chiefs short. I'm sure guys like Minshew have something to prove. Tomorrow is never guaranteed. Daniel says, the 2025 season has been horrible on and off the field. We need an award from this awful season. Meaningless win when 65% of the roster will be gone is not worth throwing away a top pick. We had 14 chances to win, and we know what happened. Will in Clarksville says, us athletes play to win, no matter the situation. Titans don't need a quarterback going into next year's draft, so whether they have the number one pick or the fifth pick, they will get a top player in the position they need.
And that's what Willie was saying. You know, just because you don't have the first pick, still, especially this year, because in your mind, you don't need a quarterback. A quarterback is not what you're after. So if you're at 3 or 4, you still can get that impact player outside of the quarterback. So again, fans, if you're just talking from a have the number one pick to trade out of it scenario, okay. But if you're just saying, well, they need a number one pick because they need to get the best guy in the draft, they still may be able to get the best guy in the draft for them, you know, because somebody, whoever moves up to number one, they're taking a quarterback. That's what they're doing. So that sort of slides everybody else down. And they still may be able to, in their minds, get an impact player at that second, third, fourth, or fifth pick.
Steven in Clarksville says, if 90%, this is a common theme in the text line, if 90%, the percentages differ, if 90% of the Titans' current roster is not going to be present when the team gets better, then why do we care about the current locker room's morale?
Because those guys that are going to be here, and 90% of the roster, it's not going to be 90% of the roster gone.
Someone else said 65%.
Yeah, it's not going to be 60. You know, you don't typically see a 60, 70, 80% turnover in a team, no matter how bad they are. But you're right. There'll be a portion of guys, and we can sort of kind of throw, you know, kind of label the guys or write the guys that we believe more than likely will not be here. Arden Key is one that more than likely will not be here because his contract expired, and they may just be looking for a better player and younger player at that position. So, but outside of guys that we know more than likely, a lot of these guys are coming back, and a lot of these guys are going to compete, and a lot of these guys are going to remember what happened the following season, the season prior. And if you can go into the offseason with wins up under your belt, that's good for those guys coming back into the locker room. Again, it's not going to be a 90% turnover. I know you know people are just throwing numbers out there, but it's not going to be a 90. It's not going to be an 80 or 70 or a 60. They're going to have a turnover, but it's not going to be that big. But at least the guys that have shown that they're going to develop, they're going to be back. And the guys that they drafted from this year and last year, those guys will be back as well. So there'll be a turnover, but not the turnover that everybody believes. So in my mind, it's like, why not go out, you know, on a winning streak and sort of, you know, infuse some type of winning, you know, in that locker room? Because the last thing you want to do, man, is, and I'm telling you, you don't want – not having a bad season alone is just the worst, because it's like you click on the television, they talk about all the playoff teams, and you're like, damn. Like, but then if you go out on a 3-game losing streak too, it's like, man, that is not fun, people. I'm telling y'all, that is not fun whatsoever.
But I'm wondering how many teams in the situation that the Titans are in right now. We've mentioned the Patriots. Let's go back and look at the Patriots' schedule. The Patriots were, 4-13 last season? They lost 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 of their final 7 games.
Yeah, but what was the game that they won? Mr. Milton.
That's right. As I quipped that day, and this may not age well, he wasn't a New England Patriot that day. He was an American Patriot.
Yes, he was.
And
that was
the
game that springboarded the Patriots to where they are today.
Exactly.
Right. That's what happened.
Do you think that Drake May this season, after they beat the Bills, They were 3-2. People were like, hey, the Patriots look real, man. They just beat the Bills in Buffalo. Do you think Drake May said it's all because of that game that Joe Milton won last year that I didn't even play in?
And Mike Vrabel wasn't even there.
Yeah. Right. So that's my counter to mm-hmm. what you're saying. And I
think specifically for Ward, mm-hmm. I just think it will help him if he has some good games, mm-hmm. build some confidence, get some W's. I think that has value. It has value. So I can live with it either way. Mm-hmm. I want to see them play hard. I want to see some good things happen. I want young players to continue to grow. And I'll take the results.
If the score is 45-44, Titans lose, then I think everybody would be happy, right?
One texter says, I get the players want to win, but we got to make this like the movie Major League. Sit players out, series of fines for good play.
Nah, that ain't going to happen. Sitting them down just because?
Well, look what the Chiefs are doing.
Well, they got reasons. They're like, well, these guys injured.
I did this. Yeah. If we can bury our head, the commissioner can come out and say, nobody does that. Nobody tanks. I think we understand in all sports that this happens. You're out of it, mm-hmm. and you will shut guys down that you wouldn't otherwise if your team was still in it.
Of course.
615-737-1025 will continue to take your thoughts on this. Also, the Music City Bowl tickets will be up for grabs at the end of the next segment. So if you want a chance to win those Music City Bowl tickets, be listening. At the end of the next segment, I will give you the trivia question in the queue to call. 615-737-1025. Speaking of the Music City Bowl, we are your home for the Mutual Liberty Music City Bowl on Tuesday, December 30th. Our coverage is presented by Pickers Vodka and Beyond the Edge Sports Bar. D-Maze, Fingan, and Dodick, 1025 The Game. We are presented by Bax Homeworks. Remodeling done right. Get a free estimate now at baxhomeworks.com. We are also broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Let's go to our phone line.
Before we get to the phones, this is a classic yearly debate, and I feel like that song, which is a great song, Christmas in Hollis, is a reason in the category of Is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
We're not doing this. We're not doing it.
I say Die Hard is a Christmas movie, but that song...
Gets
That's
played
a Christmas
in that.
Song.
Right. So they play the Christmas Carol. So that is an argument for. I see both sides of the argument.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a Christmas movie.
I think it's a Christmas movie.
I am not.
I love watching it during Christmas.
I am not entertaining this question.
Why?
Because it is
it's
the.
Fun.
It is
Come
the
on,
most,
it's fun. It's fun.
It is the most stereotypical right before Christmas sports talk radio trope there is.
Well,
and we're all about that.
Exactly. We're all about it right now.
Let's go to Mike on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Mike, thank you for waiting. Go ahead.
I struck a chord with our host.
Merry Christmas to everybody.
Merry Christmas, Mike.
And listen, what we're talking about here is drafts, right? Okay. I believe we need the number one draft. If we don't get it, number two, fine. But shouldn't we be talking about the coach and the staff? And who that's going to be, because are we getting ahead of the game here where we're going to get the number one pick, then hire a coach? Or should we hire a new coach and staff, then let him decide who the pick is going to be during the draft? Because we don't need to go down this path again of with Cam. I like Cam Ward. I want him to stay and get somebody that's going to work him in. But are we going to then wait to the end of the season and then hire a fired coach or a fired offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator from somewhere else, bring them here to Nashville, and they say, well, I don't want to go there. And so that's the question to me is, draft is good. Let's make sure we get the number one pick. I hope we lose the last two games. Make sure, though, that whoever we pick as coach, allow him and his staff to make the draft pick.
Thank you for the call, Mike. Well, the Titans will theoretically hire a coach in, what, mm-hmm. January probably?
Yeah.
And the draft isn't until April. Mm-hmm. So the coaching staff will have some input.
They have the coach already there, and he'll have his input.
Here's one thing you absolutely do not have to worry about, as one texter says. Here's what I'm worried about if they win the final three games. I'm worried that Mike McCoy might actually be a head coach candidate for the Titans next season, and that is something that I don't want. Texter, mm-hmm. I don't think you have to worry about
that.
Yeah,
I don't think you got to worry about that.
Mike McCoy, Mr. Substitute Teacher himself, he gets paid whether you learn or not.
And he will run the stadium stairs whether he does or not.
Right.
That's just him. So you ain't got to worry about that.
Mike McCoy can... I don't know what he's going to do. He doesn't really need to do anything.
He'll be on the staff somewhere.
Yeah. I don't think you have to worry about that. I don't think Mike McCoy is a legitimate candidate to be the Tennessee Titans head coach. That same texter continues. I do agree if they win because of Cam Ward, I wouldn't be upset about that. But if they win and he plays bad, that would be a wasted win for me.
Yeah, and I get it. And that's why he has to play well. And, you know, some people's definition of well is different from mine or others. You know, again, if he shows that he's developing and he's making, you know, the right reads and doing some of the right things, then okay, the numbers may not be gaudy. But they do need to, I think, look better than what they did last week. As a whole, I think they do. And even better than in the win that they had. They need to look a little bit better, even though they scored a bunch of points. So I get that part. But they may not be gaudy numbers. They may not be the, you know, 290, 300, three touchdown game. It may not look like that. But if it looks like, you know, he's developing within the system and continuing and they win, then that's great for me. But if they lose and he doesn't play bad and he doesn't play well, then that's going to give people more, you know, sort of fuel to add to the fire.
Alan from Nashville. Actually, it says Alan from Nashville and then Alan from Little Rock. Where are you from, Alan?
Little Rock of Nashville.
Well, <I don't, laughs> what would we consider?
He's on that one Little Rock.
Yeah. What would we consider the Little Rock of Nashville?
I don't know.
Which neighborhood?
Man, I don't know.
Have you been to Bellevue? It's the Little Rock of Nashville.
Yeah, that's the Little Rock of Nashville.
Alan says, did y'all see that Macaulay Culkin recently said that Die Hard is not a Christmas movie? We're not doing this, Alan.
It is. I don't care what
Macaulay Culkin
is happening. It's happening. I can feel it. It's happening.
Now we got to do it.
If you want to talk about a classic Christmas movie, let's talk about Jingle All the Way. What a classic film.
A1.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sinbad.
That was funny. They were going out to get the...
Rita Wilson, Turbo Man.
Yeah, Turbo Man.
Turbo time.
Yeah, so.
No, we're not going to do that. But what I would like to see from Cam Ward over the remaining three games, I do want him to have one of those big performances. I just think it would be very helpful for him in the community. And by the community, I mean all of you arguing about whether or not he's good. I think that if Cam Ward can show out in one of these three games and the Chiefs are going to be shorthanded on both sides of the ball, I can tell you the Saints have been playing better as of late, but they're not a good team. The Jaguars will be playing for something meaningful, potentially. So there will be some opportunities for Cam Ward to put up some gaudy numbers. I don't know if that's possible. He may not be. We talked about game managers the other day, right? Cam Ward may never be the type of quarterback who throws for 300 yards on a consistent basis. But if he can do the things to help you win, then you can live with that, right?
Yeah. Last year, didn't we have sort of this clock on Will Levis, or this number that we all were looking at, the 20-game number. And it was like, well, before the 20 games, it was like, just let him get the 20 games. He's doing some things, yeah, I know, but let him get the 20 games because that's the benchmark. And then after 20 games, you will know whether he's the guy or not. That was being said across the airways. That was being said on the national.
I said that a lot.
Yeah. Give him 20 games, people. 20 games. After 20 games, then okay.
It was hard to get Levis to 20.
Yeah.
Right? By the time it was like 16, he kept going backwards.
Yes. But what I'm saying is this, and it's we were running with it last year with Will Levis, and I think, you know, from a national standpoint, if you were paying attention to the Titans, it was that, okay, give him 20 games, and he still didn't get it. And I sort of laugh because it's funny. But Cam, in this situation, it's similar to – Will Levis, but I think in a sense it's worse because the roster has gotten worse since Will Levis. And what I mean by that is guys that they brought in here last year, not playing now. The guys that they drafted this year are still developing. You have injuries here, there. Guys that have been traded away from the team that was on the team last year, they're traded away, they even traded away some of the guys this season. So even though it's similar in ways, it's different in a lot of other ways. So at least give Cam and even Gunner and Elik and DK, give those guys 20 games and then see where they're at as far as have they developed. The organization's going to get Cam more than 20 games. So y'all give him 20 games, the organization's going to give him way more than that. But I'm saying to sort of cut through a lot of this stuff, 20 games. And then after 20 games, okay, make your assessment on whether he's the guy or not. But he's been behind the eight ball since he got drafted. I think everybody understands that.
What's interesting about how this could split, if he finishes the season, I do think it's a feather in his cap that he starts all 17 with all of the stuff, as I've been calling it, the gasoline fire going on around him at all angles.
And he got
cotton
draw.
And check. And look, I
like
didn't
just
get,
to get through 17 games. That's an accomplishment.
I didn't get, I assume, a lot of things right in your 10 Titans questions, but I did say
you said over.
Not only did I say over. I said he was going to start all 17 games. I made that prediction.
And at this point, he's close.
He's getting there. He's closing in.
We'll see. Dustin says, I think he does it against the Chiefs. Toe-to-toe with Minshew. I feel Chika Conquo tries to go off. Why? Kelsey's in town. He wants to show out against one of the best.
What's a contract year for Chig, I believe, isn't it?
It is a contract year for Chig. We will talk about that.
He needs to continue.
Shortly.
And Chig is another guy that... Man, you just want to see more. You think he has it, or he shows that he has it, but then he disappears. So, yeah, if he plays well moving forward, that helps Cam.
615-737-1025. All right, it is time to give away our final pair of Music City Bowl tickets. The Music City Bowl, Tennessee versus Illinois, Nissan Stadium, December 30th, we talked to Scott Ramsey, president and CEO of the Music City Bowl, earlier in the program. Here's your question. Which quarterback holds the Music City Bowl record for most passing yards in a game? You do not have to give me the exact number. You just have to give me the name of the quarterback. Which quarterback holds the Music City Bowl record for most passing yards in a game? Be the first caller with the correct answer to David Janes at 615-737-1025, and you will win our final pair of Music City Bowl tickets. Again, the question one more time. Which quarterback holds the Music City Bowl record for the most passing yards in a game? Let us know right now. 615-737-1025. You have to call. Some of you have been texting this week. You have to call. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.